Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 54. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude!
Dude, do you know who's number 54?
54 on the Sharks. I don't know, dude.
Neither do I. There's never been a number 54.
Never.
Never.
Wow.
So the streak's over, dude.
The streak's over as far as Sharks players matching up with Dudes on Hockey episodes.
I think you're right. I think it has to be retired.
But we'll be back at 55. Are you going to stop?
I don't know. I guess.
It's going to get harder, dude. I think it's good to go out on 54.
You think so?
Yep.
You know, 53 was, Jesse Fibiger, it was a fitting way to go out.
That is a good way to go out. But I think 54 is a significant number to today's podcast. Do you know why?
I don't know that.
Because that's how many phone calls Doug Wilson made trying to get a first round pick, yeah, and it didn't happen.
And nothing happened.
So 54 phone calls. Congratulations, Doug Wilson, and good job trying, buddy.
Yeah. Way to throw your chips in there. Didn't work out. So much Sharks news. There's players that are not going to be back. There's players that got qualifying offers. There's players that we don't know the status of yet.
It's a huge day. Now, we're recording this in the middle of the day on July 1st.
That's right.
So we do have some unrestricted free agency news, and there are some things that undoubtedly will happen tonight,
mm-hmm,
after we're done, that we won't be able to talk about, but we'll speculate a little.
Hopefully people are listening Wednesday night, because I'm going to post it right after we record today.
Oh.
So... Happy Canada Day, everyone.
Yes, happy Canada Day.
I didn't.
Happy Canada Day to Spashik.
Yeah.
Way to go, buddy.
Yeah.
Enjoy your misery.
All right, dude. We got to start with the Sharks that we know won't be back. Doug Wilson said that he was looking to make maybe 6 or 8 roster changes. We're already at that number. Marcel Gotch, Alexei Semenov, Mike Greer, Brian Boucher, Claude Lemieux, Kaspar, Pleahall, none of them will be back. They're all gone. So I got to play this for the very last time.
It's alive! It's alive!
I'm going to have to get a new sound effect, I guess.
Dude, let me take a second here and think about, offer my comments on how much I'm going to miss the list of guys that you just named.
Right.
None.
I won't
miss them at all. I got to say... You know, even though we had some hype about Lemieux last year, we were excited at the prospect of him being able to contribute. He really couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Greer is either too banged up or just has lost his edge and isn't able to offer that leadership that we haven't seen, you know, really since the first year he was here, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Cut the dead weight. This is what he needs to do. Guys who can't help the team move forward, then you have no home here anymore.
So, dude, you're going to have to change your name on the blog then?
Yeah.
So you're just going to go with Doug now, or are you going to come up with something else?
I don't know. You know, I'm flirting with the don't pause the Jocelyn.
That would be great. Don't pause the Jocelyn.
I'm not sure. We'll see. We've got some time to consider it. But dude, what's your take on these guys, the guys who we have had confirmation most likely not coming back, dude?
Yeah, these guys aren't coming back. I'm not that broken up about it. The only guy that I was a little surprised at maybe is Marcel Gotch. He is a really good face-off guy. It's useful to have a guy like that around, but clearly Doug Wilson didn't want to use the roster spot. There are some guys in the minor leagues, and there's some guys, plenty of guys out in the free agent market that can fill that role or want to be considered to fill that role, and maybe just doesn't make sense anymore. Now we know what we're getting with Marcel Gotch, and the question is that enough for this to be a good Stanley Cup contending team to have guys like that on the team? And I guess his answer was no. It's
no.
Hard to disagree with that.
Marcel Gotch is the German Jim Dowd. He is. Marcel Gotch should be hosting NHL Live in 5 years.
He could be.
He's going to bounce around. He's going to find a team to play for this year, no doubt about it. And he'll probably play fourth line minutes on another team. And maybe he'll go to a team that has, you know, maybe he'll sign with the Islanders, or maybe he'll sign with Tampa Bay, or a team that maybe can offer him a little bit of a more of an opportunity. But the Sharks aren't in a position to be waiting for him to develop into something else. What was it, like 2 years ago where he showed up at camp and people were saying he's going to, you know, have a breakout offensive year? Well, he was offensive.
Yeah, that's true.
He was offensive.
And I do want to take a little issue with something that you said. He's going to be way better than Jim Dowd in NHL Live if he if he gets that job, just to let you know.
And now you just blew it. We'll never have Jim Dowd on.
Oh, there, man.
Just chalk him up on the list of guests that we will not have.
Okay.
What about some of these other players? Do you think that they'll find homes on other rosters?
Well, we know Boucher's already signed with Philadelphia.
Right? Boucher got a pretty sweet deal, almost $1 million a year. There was no way he was going to get that from us.
Yeah, and he wasn't going to get it from us, and the Sharks basically completely resurrected his career. He was in the minors in the Philadelphia organization, no less. And the Sharks resurrected his career. He proved to a lot of people that he can still play as a backup in the NHL, and that's what he's going to be in a Flyers uniform.
Really smart move because, you know, handing the starting job over to the ticking time bomb, Ray Emery, he could implode at any minute.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Boucher there ready to step in and play. Although the Sharks didn't trust him enough to play him when Nabokov faltered.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the Flyers do have that kind of trust in him.
That's right.
So congratulations to him and best of luck.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Best of luck to all those guys. Even Semenov, we know he likes to take shots at him, and he's good to trade. Okay, one more time.
It's alive!
Okay, that was really the last time
I'm
going to play
that.
I'm going to miss it, too. You know, he's a nice guy, and I'm sure he's a nice guy. And you know,
his wife was hot. We saw her.
That's true.
Hot.
She was.
Yes. So we will miss her.
We're going to miss her. And he had two cute kids. He had some cute kids, too.
He did.
Good-looking kids. And, you know, God bless him. So, you know, best of luck to you.
He'll probably find another team or, you know, I mean, would he be a surprise that maybe he ends up getting some more coin to go to the KHL?
Yeah, that's true. Because we've seen, we saw Fedorov go to the KHL. We saw somebody else on the Capitals went to the KHL.
Kozlov.
That's right.
Victor Kozlov. Zednik's gone to the KHL. Mm-hmm. I mean, there have been quite a few players that have gone that route. I mean, maybe Semenov will be able to get $1 million to play in the KHL, and he might actually play top 4 minutes over there. So,
or at least have a regular shift.
Sure. So,
maybe so.
We'll see what happens, dude. But all we know is we're going to be seeing some new faces
very soon. And one of the new faces, maybe Brad Staubitz, at least a regular face you may see. He was one of the four players that was tendered a qualifying offer. Thomas Greiss, Torrey Mitchell, and Ryan Clough being the other. So, you know, Doug Wilson is at least looks like he's going down the path he said at State of the Sharks, which is he said some nice things about Brad Staubitz. It could be his roster spot to lose. One of these now open roster spots looks like it's going to be his to lose.
He demonstrated last year that he has the grit. He's not afraid. He took some dumb penalties, and that was the knock. That the problem I had with him was Staubitz didn't seem to know that he didn't have to go on the ice in his first shift and just beat the tar out of somebody and then be sitting in the box.
Right.
That's not what he needs to do. But, you know, if you can sign Staubitz, you know, to 1 year deal and, you know, he'll be relatively inexpensive and you give him the opportunity to prove himself and, you know, McClellan's committed to having him play every night. I think it's worth it. Sure. Why not?
Give it a look. It looks like Mitchell's going to stay. They say negotiations are ongoing with Clough. That's the big question mark. And also,
Clough's name was out there. I mean, it was publicly out there from reputable sources, not Eklund.
Yeah.
You know, we had some, you know, Dreger was talking about it. McKenzie was talking about it. They were talking about it at the draft. Dude, do you think that was just Wilson gauging the market, or do you think that there was actually a chance that Clough might have been moved for the right package?
I think there was a chance he would have been moved. I think that he really wanted to get a high first-round draft pick. If you read the blog, sharks.hockeyanalysis.com, I wrote a post yesterday, the day before, can't remember when, about how top 10 draft picks are really the only sure thing in the draft. Top 10, not even first round, just top 10. And Wilson, I think, was trying to get, they said top 11. That's what David Pollock said in the Mercury News. So maybe Clough was as part of that package. Who knows? But, you know, in the salary cap era, draft picks, especially high draft picks, have more value now, and Wilson wasn't able to get it. So we ended up drafting people, and we'll get to the draft in a moment. But there's two more guys we have question marks about, and that's Travis Moen and Ken Huskins. Do you think either of these guys? Pollock said maybe Huskins. There might even be a better chance of us signing Huskins over Moen. We haven't seen Huskins play a single minute in a Sharks uniform, so I can't say anything about that. But Moen, I guess I would say I'd like to see him back.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with them bringing him back for the right price. I think My question with Travis Moan was, and we've sort of beat this to death, but I'll bring it up one more time, is I was really disappointed in what he brought to the table in the Ducks series when we really needed him. He wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't give any of the qualities or show anything that was the reason why we got him. He was a ghost. And why? I mean, we don't know. You know, we can't get inside the player's head, but he didn't make an impact, and that might have soured Doug Wilson on Travis Moan.
Right.
We went into battle, and you didn't bring your gun, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you left us hanging out there, and if that's how it's going to be, what if the Sharks play the Ducks again in the first round, and then they play each other six times during the regular season? Does Travis Moan just need to be scratched because he doesn't feel like hitting his friends?
Yeah.
I
hope that's not the case.
It can't happen, and so... You know, Doug Wilson knows the answer to that, and maybe we're beating up Travis Moan more than he deserves. But you know, he was part of that third and second line that didn't do anything in that series. So, you know, do we need to replace him? Yeah, there needs to be a player like that, whether it's Moan or if Staubitz is going to be that guy. I don't think Staubitz is that type of guy who you're going to put out there on the kill and stuff like that.
Yeah, he hasn't showed that kind of aptitude yet.
So, I don't know, dude. I think Huskins could be on the radar for the right price because you need to get another seventh defenseman, although you've got guys in the system like Moore, Jocelyn, guys who are going to be probably in the mix here. And where does Brad Lukowich figure in? We don't know yet.
Yeah, too soon for Petrecki probably, but you're right. Huskins could be that seventh guy. So let's get to the draft before we get to free agency, because I know you love talking about free agency.
I do.
I love talking about it, but
I do.
We got to talk about the draft a little bit. And actually, to be perfectly honest, a lot of my draft information, at least as far as the Sharks are concerned, I got from sharkspage.com. There's a great post by Max Giesi. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. Summarizing and detailing all of the draft picks that the Sharks made.
This just in, dude.
What?
Hal Gill to the Canadiens.
No.
Yep.
For real?
Hal Gill, Montreal Canadian.
Wow, no kidding.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But needless to say, I haven't heard of any of these guys that we drafted, because the first pick the Sharks had was number 43 overall. You know, I don't watch a lot of amateur hockey. These guys, well, our second round draft pick was U.S. development program, so he not even in the Canadian junior system. Our second guy was from the OHL, so Canadian juniors. And then you sent me a link to an article about our third pick, a fifth round pick named Phil Verone. Apparently he played on the London Knights with John Tavares, and at least according to this one guy who wrote an article, he really liked him. He thought he was maybe the second best player on the Knights besides Tavares. So this guy, Phil Verone, he could have some upside.
Sure.
Not a real big guy, only 5'10". But that could be an interesting pick.
The description of Verone was that of an energy player, a guy who comes through in the clutch. And what I wrote on the blog is it sounds like Wilson was looking for his Maxim Talbot.
Yeah.
So, you know, if this guy can turn out to be a serviceable energy third line scorer, great.
Yeah, that's what we want. So, I don't know. I don't really have anything. I think, to be perfectly honest, I thought the draft day was really boring. Like, one of the most boring draft days I've heard in a long time. There wasn't a lot of moves at the top. I thought the Islanders might make a splash if they went dumb and drafted Matt Duchene instead of John Tavares, which I think would have been the dumbest thing they could have possibly done. But they got smart, drafted Tavares. It went pretty much as expected from there. Braden Schenn and all this stuff. So, you know, Evander Kane and so on and so forth. Anything interesting at all from your perspective happened on draft day, dude?
Well, besides the two trades that happened, you know, with Pronger being sent to the Flyers.
Right, of course.
Which, you know, will have a significant impact, I think. And, you know, we're of two different opinions on this, is that I think this is a great deal for the Flyers. And I think that you're looking at it from the other side, like the Ducks really did a nice job of getting a significant return for Pronger. But what I wrote about on the blog was that every team that gets Chris Pronger, they seem to make it to the Stanley Cup or win the Stanley Cup. And the team that he leaves, they don't make the playoffs for 3 years. The three-year Pronger curse, dude.
That's right.
Now, you know, I know I'm reaching here with the Ducks not making the playoffs. That's probably not going to happen. But I think he means
not.
A lot more to that team than maybe they're recognizing right now. I mean, he was their identity. So now, really, they're stripping the Brian Burke identity away from the Ducks. and going with a little bit of a different style here. They've gotten rid of some of these guys who are a little more of the bang it up. Now we're seeing Toronto turn back into this team.
Of course, yes.
And the Flyers, I mean, Jesus, with Pronger, and now they signed Ian LaPerriere. They've got Daniel Carcello and Scott Hartnell. I mean, are they even going to be able to get out of the locker room without fighting each other?
I don't know.
I don't know, dude. But I love what the Flyers did bringing him in. And I think, you know, it's exactly the kind of identity they want. Although maybe they've gone too far.
I mean, Pronger's got 1 year. It's not a huge risk in terms of money-wise. And the Flyers have a lot of problems with contracts. Daniel Briere's making $8 million until, you know, 22-12 or something. But to me, giving up Sabisa, who... if they didn't have so many good young defensemen in Coburn and Parent and Jones, and Tiemannin is maybe one of the best defensemen in the NHL that nobody knows about, if they didn't have all those guys, Sabisa probably would have been in the lineup every single night as an 18-year-old. And now everybody was talking about how great Drew Doughty was in LA. Well, I'm not saying Sabisa is definitely on that level, but if you're 18 years old and playing a regular shift as a defenseman in the NHL, that's pretty special. So they're trading him and Joffrey Leupold, who we know maybe who was involved in the first Pronger trade to Edmonton. This kid's been around a little bit, but he's a top nine guy. He's an NHL player.
He's on his fourth team in 4 years, dude. If he's that good, you don't move that around that much if you're that good.
Well, you don't move Pronger then, if he's that good.
Okay, but these are, you know, teams that are moving Pronger are moving him more for salary reasons than, like, we don't like the player. So... Leupold, I just kind of yawn at the return they got. Okay, yeah, two first round picks. They're probably going to be high 20s, and then Sabisa. Yeah, that could turn out to be
great,
a great player, or he could turn out to be Jeff Gilson. You know, I mean, you don't know. And Joffrey Leupold, they don't need Joffrey Leupold. They have Claude Giroux and they have Van Riemsdyk ready to go. They don't need him. So. I think the Flyers did a great job of bringing in a piece that could put them over the top, or put them able to look Pittsburgh in the eye and say, we're ready. We're ready to go with you guys. 1-2. They're the top two teams. This put them over Boston to me.
To me, this seems like a slightly safe, almost as risky of a deal as the Sharks deal for Brian Campbell. They get one great player. They trade assets, first round picks to get him, but they only knowingly get him for a limited time, and he could very well walk after the season.
That's true.
So the Flyers could, I mean, it could, everything could smell like roses for Paul Holmgren, and everything could be great if they do well, or they re-sign him or whatever. But if they walk, Sabisa turns into a great player and Leupold becomes one of the third line guys that Anaheim needs, then, you know, Philly could have a lot of egg on their face, because they traded some good assets for essentially 1 year of a great player.
That's why they play the games, and we'll have to wait and find out, dude.
That's right.
What about the Jay Bomeister to Calgary deal?
Well, I mean, we just watched the scintillating...
Okay, you ready? Okay, we're going to reenact the press conference.
The
Jay Bomeister press conference, so you don't have to watch it. Mike will be playing Daryl Sutter.
Yeah, who sounds just like Rocky, if you think about it.
And I'll be playing Jay Bomeister. Okay, ready? Here we go.
Okay. I'd like to introduce Jay Bomeister, who is possibly the greatest all-around defenseman in the NHL. Jay?
Thanks, Daryl. I'd like to say goodbye to Keith Ballard, my friend. I'd like to say goodbye to... Billy Peltonen. And I'd like to say, Robin Regier, if you're listening, go ahead and pack your suitcase, because they got to clear some salary.
I'd also like to announce that Jay will be changing his name to Jay Sutter, because everyone in the Calgary Flames organization now needs to be named Sutter.
Thanks, Daryl.
That's basically what happened. Except it was slightly less interesting than that.
Pretty dull.
Yeah.
Dude.
I thought it was good. I mean, to be perfectly honest, I thought it was a good deal by Calgary. I thought they signed him for a really reasonable contract figure. I thought they did a good job.
But aren't you just addressing what already is your strength?
It could be.
What are they doing? I don't get it. And that's why I think something's got to give. And I think you think they're going to roll into the season with that lineup. So I'm proposing a first bet of the year, dude.
Okay, go.
Dude.
Okay.
for two beers.
Okay, two beers.
At the first...
At the Teal and White.
Okay, at the Teal and White.
Okay.
I'm going to say by the Teal and White game,
okay,
the Calgary Flames have moved either Saric, Phaneuf, or Regier. One of them.
Okay, I'll take that bet.
Okay, very nice, dude. Dude, shake on it.
Okay, we're shaking.
Very nice, we're shaking. Okay. You can't see that, listeners. I just can't see how they're going to open the year with no scoring. So they've got Bertuzzi out, Camilleri out.
Camilleri's not coming back.
And now they added Bouwmeester, who's not like a juggernaut scorer.
Right. He's not Mike Green.
No. So are they just going to try and beat people 2-1?
I think so. I think that's exactly the plan. I think that's Daryl Sutter hockey. I think that's what they're going to do. They're going to, Ginla, maybe they'll try to get like an okay winger for a Ginla, and they'll have Lenko, and they'll just throw some dudes out there, hope they score a goal here and there, and then hope the defense just fires away from the point and someone eventually bangs it in. I think that's how they're going to roll.
See, I wouldn't be surprised if he's on the phone seeing if he can get, you know, hey Doug Wilson, will you give me Mahalik and a prospect for Regier?
See, I think Saric would be much more likely to go. Personally.
Sure, but you're not going to get the return for Saric.
That's true. That's true, but Rob Regier is one of those guys you don't really want to trade.
You don't want to trade him, but now you've got three top two defensemen in your lineup, which is great if you can afford it, but they can't.
Not we'll for
see,
very
dude.
Long.
We'll see, dude. I think if they stick like that, I don't like their chances.
Yeah.
I don't like their chances, dude. I think Sutter is imploding from the inside.
And we're going to be on the front. We're going to be right in the front row watching. All right, so let's talk about Scott Gomez before we talk about Danny Heatley. So Scott Gomez... The Rangers managed to ditch that contract, traded him to Montreal, who finally got rid of Chris Higgins, who seems to be in every trade proposal in the last 2 years.
They held on to that guy like he was freaking gold.
I know, and then they dump him for Scott Gomez. And some of the other guys involved in that deal were like so strange. It's like
Doug Janik?
Doug Janik? Anyway, but Gomez, I think, you know, it's a good deal for the Rangers, I guess, because they got rid of that contract. I mean, I thought they were going to make a run at Heatley. Bob McKenzie on the TSN coverage says they're not making a run at Heatley. They're clearing cap space for some reason. I don't know. But I guess you got to say that's a good deal for the Rangers, because I don't think we can say that Scott Gomez is an honest to goodness number one center, the guy that they need.
Moving him out is a good deal if they're going to keep that cap room open and make a smart move with it, but they won't. You know they won't.
No, they won't.
They're not going to.
Patrick Rismelik gets another contract. $2 million this time.
Like, how hard will you laugh if they've traded Gomez and then they go out and spend the $6 million on signing Camilleri or Gabrick?
Yeah. And then Gabrick goes down with a hip injury in the first
10 games. There's no way that they're going to say there's going to keep that cap space open.
No. No.
He'll
not.
Use it. He'll use every single dollar.
Yeah, they'll use it. So speaking of Heatley... So there's been quite a bit of drama in the last 24 hours about that. So it's been in the news last few weeks. He wants a trade. So Edmonton works out a trade sending, what, Cogliano?
Penner.
Penner and...
Ladislav Smead.
Yeah, Ladislav Smead.
That other great asset that the...
they got from the
Pronger trade. See, Smead was like the equivalent of Spezza.
He was.
In that deal, and look how he turned out.
This is true. That's a good point. So anyway, but then Heatley says, oh, I guess I'm not going to waive my no movement clause after all. And so Edmonton's left there, sitting there, and he's still stuck in Ottawa. So, I mean, Randy Hahn basically said it last week, right? So is Danny Heatley like a big D-bag here? I mean, is this...
Yeah.
I mean, he is just not... I mean, he is now like a guy that
he's
no
looking
team would want.
Like a loser.
Yeah, yeah.
More and more every day. And we heard on the coverage on the way up here before we started taping that, you know, again, they're bringing up that the Sharks were in and they made a pitch and it just wasn't good enough. I don't buy it.
David Pollock says they weren't.
I don't think they were either. Why would Doug Wilson want to cut bait with guys who he thinks can't compete and then bring in some big ticket player?
And you never know what the pitch was. I mean, you never know how serious it was. I mean, it could have been Doug Wilson calling him up and say, hey, you know, we'll give you Mahalik and Chichu. And then Brian Murray says, no, we want Thornton. And then, you know, click, you know. You know, it could be like
we'll give you the restricted rights to Thomas Pleahall.
Right. Click. So, you know, we have no idea how serious that deal was. If there were any talks.
I don't know if there's any price that would compel Doug Wilson to bring a two-time loser onto your team.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say two-time loser, I mean, you know, it's not like this guy. This guy was behind the wheel of a car.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people are, they're not talking about this.
It was a while back.
This was a while back. This guy's, you know, he's behind the wheel of a car. While, you know, and unfortunately, the player's name is escaping me. Do you remember his name?
Dan Snyder.
Dan Snyder. You know, and he dies, and Heatley is embraced by the Atlanta community, brought back to that team, and then he wants out.
Right.
He wants out after...
Dude.
What? Wait, hold on. What is it?
San Jose News, dude.
No, really?
Coming right down the wire.
Dude, is it exciting?
Kinda.
Are you excited? Is it a player that we're going to be excited about?
I'm slightly excited.
Really? Is it somebody... Let me guess.
Okay. You refreshed it on your computer.
No, I didn't.
You're
swear.
Looking at it right
I'm
now.
I'm not.
You're playing with me.
I'm not. I don't know. Is it a trade?
No, it's not a trade.
It's a signing.
It's a signing.
Okay. Forward or defense?
Defense.
Francois Beauchemin?
No. Not that exciting, dude. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Ken Huskins. That's kind of exciting. Ken Huskins, dude. 2 years, 3.4. You're not.
Dude,
you don't look excited. Dude.
Come on, dude. The way
it was
that
Sharks
you,
News, dude.
It is Sharks News, and we just broke it live here on tape delay for everybody.
But there was nothing going on in the draft. Nothing going on all day. This is exciting to me. I'm sorry.
So we gave Ken Huskins $1.7 million for 2 years.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe that's not good,
dude. I mean, okay. But this kind of gets back to, we're talking about the draft. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I can't even remember how we got sidetracked here. We're talking about Heatley.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. So he's a loser. So
moving on.
Talking about the draft, the Sharks in their second round, they draft Wren,
yeah,
who sounds like a kid who's got potential. He's a leader. He was on the gold medal winning under 18 U.S. team.
Yeah.
He was their captain.
That's right.
I like his makeup. What kind of player he'll be, we don't know, but he's going to college. So we like this, and Doug Wilson likes this. The other kid that we got in the second round was the kid who boarded John Tavares at the junior at the prospect tryouts.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what his name is. Do you remember it off the top of your head? Anyways, this other kid, he's like 6'7", like 230.
Taylor Doherty, his name is.
All right.
6'8".
So now we see Ken Huskins has been re-signed to a significant 2-year deal.
Yeah.
Okay. The Sharks have drafted these two defensemen who are 3 or 4 years away from playing, but they're in the system.
We have Petrecki.
We have Petrecki, we have Moore, we have Jocelyn. Don't you think that this points that one or two guys, defensemen, are not coming back?
You mean like in the Vlasic,
I'm talking
Erhoff.
Like Vlasic, Erhoff, Lukowicz, two of those three guys maybe not coming back. You're not signing Ken Huskins to a 2-year deal to be your seventh guy. That's not what this is.
You're right. I don't know. We'll have to follow that, dude. There's so much other free agent news that I want to get to.
I'm just saying this is a clue. And even though it's a minor clue, it's definitely a clue to me that, you know, Huskins isn't going to be around to just like, you know,
hold a clip
get Rob Blake a Gatorade when he's thirsty.
Yeah, it's true.
You're paying this guy 1.7 to play. He's going to be on the third pairing every night.
So, dude, let's get to the free agents because it's free agent day. It's Canada Day.
Ken Huskins, I can't believe you got me.
I got
you got me so excited.
You got all up in the
I
lather.
I thought Francois Beauchemin, like, did you see how I was reaching for the stars, dude?
I know. Good try, though, dude. He wants $4 million a year. That's a lot of money.
I would give it to him.
Okay, so big moves today. Matias Olin. Sedin's re-signed. Ho-hum. Who cares?
Okay, wait. Matias Olin. He signed...
7 years in Tampa.
7 years. So, I mean, my first question to you was, what did I respond to the text to you?
Have fun losing, I think is what you said.
I think it was the first one, as I said, had fun losing.
Yeah.
And the second one I asked, are Hedman and Olin dating?
I think you did say that.
So I guess from Tampa's point of view, I could see the wisdom in bringing in another Swede
mm-hmm.
to mentor Hedman. Maybe that's a good idea. But 7 years, dude?
Well, it's a bunch of money. And what they do is the last 2 years of the deal are like $1 million a year, so they can spread out
but
the
even
cap
from it. Olin's point of view.
Yeah.
You want to, you're committing to basically go sit in what right now is a pile of trash
mm-hmm.
for 7 years.
In a market that nobody cares about hockey for the most part.
I don't get it. He couldn't have got that deal from, I mean, look at some of these other defensemen that have signed. I mean, he probably could have gone to Montreal, I guess, if we're talking about trash.
That's true. That's true. It's true. The big deal of the day by far is the Marian Hossa moving to Chicago. 12 years, over $5 million per year. Same kind of deal, though. He gets a little bit of money the last 2 years of that deal, so he's really making, like, you know, he's making, you know, $6 million a year for the first 10 years, and then a million the last 2 years, essentially, something like that. So, you know, Marian Hossa, so that means Chicago is pretty damn good, right?
Right now they are.
Yeah.
Sure.
They jumped over the Sharks, in my view, of how good...
They already had. But they already had, dude.
This is true, but now they're even better.
I agree, but we talked about it at lunch, dude. This is creating serious problems down the road for them.
Yeah, because...
Now, the cap number is friendly, right? I mean, for a guy like Hossa at $5 million...
Mm-hmm. That is pretty friendly.
Who's an unrestricted free agent for the Chicago Blackhawks next year?
Well, I think all three of those guys are... Are they restricted? Because I know Taves, Kane, and Duncan Keith are all... due for a raise next year. I don't know if they're all restricted or unrestricted, but I think they're all restricted.
I'm looking it up right now. So in 2010-2011, their restricted free agent list looks like this. Kane, Taze, Ladd, Skyle. Adam Burrish will be unrestricted. Mm-hmm. Keith.
Is unrestricted or...
Is restricted.
Okay, so...
So they've got a mountain of restricted guys.
Right.
Which,
you
know...
They're going to have
to pay them. They've got to pay them. I mean, but then the risk you run is if you just say, we'll deal with it next year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they don't win the cup because they've got Cristobal, the human sieve Huey, in net, like, this could be a problem. You know, I think that, hey, right now it looks very exciting for them. But what did you hear today, dude? They might be looking to move who?
Who?
The Blackhawks are trying to get rid of Brian Campbell?
Yeah, I heard a little bit of rumor about that. They might be looking to
what,
get rid of that contract.
That didn't work out.
It worked so good. Well, other Chicago news, Habibulin signed with Edmonton. So that means Huet is definitely the starter next year. That could be...
That's a problem.
So on the plus side, they get Hossa. On the minus side, they now have a goaltender that is not exactly proven.
Yeah, they're going to win a lot of 7-5 games.
Maybe, yeah. It could be that situation, which was all started by the fact that Dwayne Rolison signed with the Islanders for 2 years. So that's a little strange. I didn't really expect that. But
no.
I mean, other news, Scott Niedermayer re-signed with Anaheim. It doesn't make me happy. Hal Gill signed with Montreal. That's, you mentioned that before, so that's pretty big. Ian LaPerriere, a guy that
we really wanted him.
We wanted him.
And going to the Flyers.
I know.
Something's got to give there, dude. Now, this is not free agency news, but when Klo's name was being floated around, two names were connected to it. Giroux, which I don't think the Flyers are going to give, you know, trade him for anything because he's making $900,000. He's under their control for 2 more years.
Mm-hmm.
But Scott Hartnell,
mm-hmm,
in a Sharks uniform.
Yeah.
It looked pretty damn good.
I'd like it.
And, you know, they're gonna have to make some tough choices here up front. To move some of their players, you know, maybe we can give them someone who's a little more inexpensive in exchange for a player like Scott Hartnell. He's definitely on my wish list right now.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
He can make an impact. And even if you keep Klo, you know, you have another guy like that that maybe alleviates some of the pressure from Klo to be really confrontational.
Mm-hmm. And Chris Neal, another guy that we mentioned, there's been rumors we've heard throughout the day that people are offering him 4-year deals. It doesn't look like the Sharks are in on that.
No, that's too much. And for someone who's not going to be productive enough to warrant that kind of money, which is the type of player that Scott Hartnell is. He's going to score 30 goals.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get 100 penalty minutes. He's going to throw his glove at somebody on a breakaway.
That's right.
Because that's the kind of guy he is, man.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Right. Niedermayer stays with the Ducks. Knuble, another player that I think that we had kind of maybe thought the Joe Thornton connection in Boston, he could have ended up here if we had moved a forward.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with him going on the first day, obviously Doug Wilson's not ready to make that kind of commitment to anybody.
Yeah, dude, so I think we're running out of time. I think I'm going to wrap it up for today because there's so much more news that we can talk about. We'll be writing about it on the blog, sharks.hockeyanalysis.com. We'll, of course, be back again next week, as we will throughout all the summer, to break down some of these deals. I'm sure there'll be more things that happen between now and then.
Dude, one more thing before we go.
Okay.
Okay, I'm asking you to make a call.
Mm.
But by the time we podcast next week, will the Sharks have made a major trade?
Major.
Moving one of their, you know, key roster players and getting a significant return.
I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to agree with you.
I think there's going to be a major deal. We saw...
The 4th of July.
We saw the Boyle thing happen, what, second or third day of free agency last year?
It's on the 4th of July, I remember.
That's right. That's right. I think
freedom. Our freedom day, dude.
I think we'll see Doug Wilson try to do the same kind of thing, wait for the madness to die down a bit, and then make his move. I think we're going to see it.
A team that doesn't get Havlat, Hossa, and Gabrick, he might make a phone call and say, Mahalik?
Mahalo? Mahalik? All right, that does it for this week's Dudes on Hockey. You can check us out. Our blog on the web is sharks.hockeyanalysis.com. And, of course, we'll be back here on the radio or on the internet at least next week, same time, same place.
Ken Huskin.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.